As the Taliban takes control of Afghanistan, commercial flights have been suspended, and desperate scenes have unfolded at the nation's international airport. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A dizzying week-long offensive across the country has culminated with the Taliban telling the BBC it's working to form a new government in Afghanistan this morning. It comes a day after President Ashraf Ghani fled Kabul as insurgents overtook the capital. The U.S. says all of its embassy staff and thousands of Afghan citizens will be flown out of the country in a matter of hours. A Taliban spokesman, Suhail Shaheen, has told the BBC a new government will be formed after due deliberation.
We want an Afghan inclusive Islamic government. By that, we mean all other Afghans have also participation in that government. So, of course, that needs a little bit time. Work is underway on that.
But even as the Taliban urges calm inside the country, it's been a morning of chaos at the airport, which is now under control by American troops who fired shots into the air to scatter crowds. Eyewitnesses in the Afghan capital told the BBC at least three civilians died in the panic after a stampede. Hundreds of residents have been jostling to get space on planes as they try to flee the country, fearing violence. The BBC's Anbarasan Ettirajan has more.
Well, millions of residents in the city of Kabul are waking up to the new reality where they find there is no government, there is no administration, there is no one in charge of the country. And they also see Taliban fighters walking around the streets of Kabul. That is triggering fear, chaos and confusion among the residents. And that's why you see hundreds of people trying to flee the country. They are trying to go into the airport, Kabul airport. But most of the commercial scheduled airlines have been suspended because the US, the UK and other Western nations are in the process of evacuating their embassy staff and others who worked with them. So which means there are, you know, flights coming in and going out, which means there are no commercial flights. There are some evacuation flights are there. And people are desperately trying, if you see the videos on social media, they're hanging on to the jet bridge, trying to struggle to get into any plane because all they want is to get out of Kabul before the Taliban completely take over.
Now, more than 60 countries have signed a statement saying all Afghans and other citizens who want to leave Afghanistan must be allowed to depart. But how is that going to happen with, as you say, no commercial flights and visas still yet to be secured?
First of all, many Afghans don't even have passports because, they never thought they need to get a passport to go out of the country. The situation for 20 years was reasonably better for many people, even though they had to live under constant fear of Taliban attacks. And many embassies now have closed their operation, especially the visa operations. And we could see people like jostling inside some of the visa centers of some of the few embassies which are still operating. And even if they get the visa, then you need to find a space in a plane. That is another issue. So what these countries hope that at least in the next few days, once all the evacuation of the Americans and the British and the Europeans are done, then probably the commercial operations should start.
Now, there is a delegation heading to Doha today to try and find a solution to this chaos. What are we expecting from that meeting? And have we had any word yet from aid agencies on their plans to help the people there in Afghanistan?
First of all, events on the ground have superseded all these talks going on in Islamabad and in Doha because the Taliban have insisted only surrender, not any transitional government, because they assert that they have achieved a military victory over the world's biggest military power, the United States, and for 20 years they've been fighting against them. So they didn't want any transitional government. So the talks going on in Doha, we are not clear what they are going to achieve because the Taliban spokesman with whom I spoke to is a senior leader, and he said, now we are in the process of taking over. Our people are going into the government offices and slowly we will start taking over. The government has already fled. President Ashraf Ghani has left the country with his top team. So who is going to hand them over the power or the other authority? So the Taliban say, we will take it. But one interesting thing is the Taliban did not want to take it by force inside Kabul because most Western nations have threatened if that happens, then they will cut off aid. And I'm talking about the aid agencies. Many agencies are really, really worried about the safety now because, you know, they've been asked to stay wherever they are because of the the tensions around the airport and the people, roaming around the city with the guns. But the aid agencies have always worked even under Taliban-controlled areas. So they say that, we will analyze the situation, and if it gets worse, then we have to rethink our options.
The BBC's Anbarasan Etirajan for us. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
To Japan now, where the economy rebounded faster than expected from its pandemic-driven slump. The pickup in the second quarter was largely due to preparation for the Tokyo Olympics. Figures out today show the economy grew at twice the rate forecast from April to June. But as the BBC's Will Bain reports, it may not be all smooth sailing for the world's third largest economy.
The good news? Preliminary data showed Japan's GDP grew by 0.3% quarter on quarter, reversing a 0.9% drop in the first 3 months of the year. The less good news? Well, when your economy minister declares they have very mixed feelings over the figures, you know there may still be trouble ahead. Yasutoshi Nishimura pointed to a recent spike in Delta variant cases around the Tokyo Olympics, plus the slowing economic recovery of its larger neighbour China, as reasons to be cautious. Our priority is to prevent the spread of the virus. It's very bad for the economy for this situation to drag on, he said. How successful Japan is to that end looks likely to be the key to what the next 3 months of economic output look like. I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
Well, off the back of those figures, the Nikkei in Tokyo closed down 1.7% today. The downbeat mood extended to the rest of Asia and Europe. The Shanghai Composite Index was little changed. Fresh figures from China showed a sharp slowdown in factory activity and retail sales growth. That's amid widespread flooding and new outbreaks of COVID-19. Meanwhile, benchmarks here in London, Paris, and Frankfurt are down in the 0.4% to 0.7% range. Well, with concerts, sporting events, and theater performances gearing up again with COVID-safe rules in place, the hunt for the cheapest tickets is once again on. But it's not always fair game. Sometimes resellers ask more than face value, or they try to pass on tickets they don't actually own. The UK's competition watchdog, the Competition and Markets Authority, is now trying to crack down on those practices, as the BBC's Vishala Sripathma reports.
The competition watchdog is recommending that the laws around the resale of tickets to live events on platforms like Viagogo and StubHub should be more closely regulated, protecting consumers from being misled or left out of pocket. Proposals include a ban on selling more tickets for an event that can be legally bought directly from venues or artists. The CMA is suggesting a new system of licensing and granting authorities the power to intervene swiftly if these rules are violated. This would include taking down websites, withdrawing a business's right to operate in the sector, and handing out fines. Viagogo says the report provides interesting insight, but was keen to highlight that the report was not a result of user complaints.
That's the BBC's Vishala Sripathma reporting there. Now, this isn't the first time the CMA has previously taken action. In February, a year after Viagogo paid $4.1 billion for StubHub, Viagogo was told to sell all of StubHub's businesses outside North America to satisfy competition concerns. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.